Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited because it's getting close to Christmas. And that's always an exciting time of the year. And for me, to have cold weather like this really adds to the season. Isn't that zestful? Isn't that good? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can tell you're as enthusiastic about this as I am. It's really good. Well, we've got several things we want to do this morning. But first of all, kids, I have a really super special announcement. As you know, last week, the church leaders allowed me to do a test drive right here in Hong Kong. And I was so excited about that because I thought, wow, I'm going to be driving around in the streets of Hong Kong. But instead of that, they brought me that car. This thing is incredible. I mean, it's a cardboard car is what it really is. But here's the exciting part, kids. You filling out your bulletin today and signing your name will be put into a pot. And next week, the winner will take home the car. Isn't that exciting? I am so excited because that means I don't have to take it. I'm so excited that you get to take it home. And I can tell your mom and dad are just anxious to take that car home. I can see you on the MTR now. It's just, this is going to be great. So anyway, here's what you have to do. You have to fill out the bulletin. And at the end of the service, I have to sign it. And then you turn it in. And next week, we're going to draw, and one lucky person will get to have that car. That's going to be great. So we're going to have a great time, and I'm so thankful for the joy of Christmas. Well, we've looked at several words, a couple of them, joy, hope, and today we look at love. And this to me is really the greatest word of all. Next week, we'll look at peace, but I like this word because it just kind of brings together all of the other words. And you're going to see how that works this morning as we share our message. I've asked Carol if she would come and read for us the text today. And we're going to deal for the first time with the Christmas story. And I love to hear this. So let's listen carefully as Carol reads for us from Luke chapter 2.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for what this text reminds us of. The very foundation of our faith, the very basis of all that we believe. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of gathering in your house to worship you and to be here together to consider again this special story and the word especially that we're looking at this morning, the word of love. I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us and be with us as we're together. In Christ's name, amen. Today, as I mentioned, we want to look at the word love and consider exactly what does that word mean. But I would like to look at it in the context of the reality that Christmas is a time when we give gifts. It's a time when we try to demonstrate to others and to ourselves again, sort of as a reminder of the fact that in Christ, we have the greatest gift of all. The joy of that then overflows into all of us sharing with others the joy of the gifts that we give to each other. What we're going to see today and what I want us to look at is some gifts are better than others. Some gifts are different. Some gifts have different functions. And I want us to look at those ideas this morning. And I've sort of geared this message toward the kids. And they're going to kind of be, but maybe we're all kind of children at heart. And so today, as we see this, I'm sure that we will discover some things that God can use as He encourages us to live our life for the Lord. Now, first of all, today we're going to have three wise ladies come in. As you know, three wise men were a part of the story of Christmas time. We have three wise ladies, and those ladies have gifts that they're bearing. And they are bringing their gifts, and these are the gifts, kids, that I want us to work with this morning. Thank you very much, ladies. Those are mostly pretty beautifully wrapped gifts. Those really look pretty nice. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for your work. I can tell you've put in a lot of effort in getting those gifts ready. Okay. Those are the gifts. Now, I need three kids. Okay, I have two. Nikki, you can come help. No, you're not going to help. I thought it was Nikki raised her hand. I need one more to help me. One more. Nope, that's not. Okay, come on, kids. We'll do it. Here comes one. Oh, no, that's not. Okay, come on. Come on over here. All right, here's the deal. I'm wondering, as we look at these gifts, which gift do you think I should open first? Because it's the best gift. Which one is the best? What do you think? This one? This one. This is the one then, huh? Okay. Well, okay, then what would be next? This one? What do you think? Oh, that one. Okay. Well, good. Okay, that one. Okay, and that one will be last. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's give them a hand. Thank you for helping me with that very difficult task. Now, we've got this sorted out, so I want to take a look at these gifts, and I am really excited. This is going to really be neat. What I want us to notice is, first of all, gifts are really special, but some gifts are gifts of obligation. We have to give gifts. For example, we had a small group when I was back in California, and these folks did a Christmas party every Christmas, and you had to bring a gift. And it had to be a stupid gift. You're laughing because you've done this, haven't you? You know, and I'm telling you, this group, they were excellent at giving stupid gifts. But there was one problem. We had a pair of pants that were huge. I mean, they were this size, you know. And you're right. I was the one who drew the pants, huh? So I put them on, and this is the problem. The things came clear up to my armpits, you know, and I put it on, and then I was responsible to wear the pants for the rest of the evening. It was my job to be a good party participant and wear my gift, and it was quite an experience. Well, unfortunately, that gift would go back in the closet, and guess what? Next year, I brought it out to give it to somebody else. And I made somebody else the victim. Well, this is the way it was. These gifts are gifts of obligation, right? You have to give them. And you really are not all that excited about it, you know? Part of it is because when you give it, it's really not something that you're excited about. And secondly, you know the poor person that's going to receive the gift is really going to have a struggle. Well, you know, when I think about it, that was sort of like the gifts given as a result of the command of the law. The Jewish people, and by the way, I had a gentleman come up after service this morning and said, "This is the first time I've been in church for 20 years. This was a wonderful time." But he said, "I'm Jewish." And I said, I think of you every time I talk about the Jewish people, people like you who look at the law and I ask him, I said, "Do you see it as an obligation?" And of course his response was, "Yes, we do. It's an obligation. It's a responsibility." The interesting thing is when we give gifts like that, for example, a sacrificial lamb, when we give gifts, first of all, I can imagine the giver. sad because they have to sacrifice the finest example of their flock. But when we read the word, we find that even the receiver, the one we offer the gift to, is not all that excited about it, so to speak. God's word says, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So you see, this obligation, just like our party, so to speak, was sort of sad to give, and the poor recipient, you know, had sort of reservations about this gift that was given out of obligation. Well, I was thinking, you know, and the first gift, of course, this is exciting. I am anxious to see what this gift is going to be. Gifts of obligation. This is probably, I think probably this was the most beautiful package of all, right? So it's got to be a good deal. So, whoa. Oh, my goodness. It's a pet rock. Now, this feels to me like a gift of obligation, huh? I am so excited to take this gift home. I mean, I can tell Carol is also, well, this is something we will want in our home, huh? So many times, although it's wrapped up beautifully, you know, those pants, every year, I mean, the best ribbon, the best bow, there they were, you know, beautifully wrapped, but a sense of obligation. Not exactly the kind of thing, the kind of gift that we really are interested in giving or sharing with others. Okay, so we look at that first of all. Now, what I want us to notice is when we give gifts, we give them also out of a sense of giving a gift that is practical. I had an aunt. I won't mention her name. But every Christmas, she would give us socks. And we knew what was coming, you know. We knew the socks were coming. And of course, you go through your gifts and you see, oh, there's Aunt Wedge, that's her name, her gift. You kind of rip that one open and take out the $10 that she usually put inside the socks, and that was it. You're glad that that was over with, huh? Practical gifts. Well, I kind of have an idea. You know, this gift is also really an exciting one. I am, oh my goodness, huh? How would you like to get this gift for Christmas? A loaf of bread and some macaroni, huh? Pretty exciting. I mean, this is something everybody wants for Christmas. But you know, oftentimes that's the way our practical gifts are. And I feel like maybe going from a pet rock down to the practical one, we're kind of on a declining scale here. So I'm not sure where we're going to end up with that last one. But what I want us to notice is that there are gifts that are given to meet our needs. And the fact is, there are some who would appreciate and be thankful that someone gave them a gift of a loaf of bread because they would have need. You know, Jesus was that way when he ministered to people. There's a story of Jesus who met two blind men. And in the process of being together with them, he touched their eyes and he healed them. He met their need. He understood what they really needed and as a result met their need. But even that meeting of the need is not the supreme kind of understanding that we have associated with Christmas. Yes, we do have needs. And yes, we need those needs met. Some of us physically. I've talked to many of you who have asked for prayer because you have a physical need or perhaps a family need or a struggle in your own emotional life. And the Lord is able to meet those needs, and it's important. But it's not the kind of thing that we're really talking about here. What I want us to realize is that as Jesus touched the eyes of those who were blind, they could see. Their eyes were opened. So it is with us as we meet each other and we can meet each other's needs. But there's one other way of looking at giving and gifting. And as you can tell, as I say, we've kind of been on a declining scale. Now, would you come help me, please? You saw these gifts, right? Would you like to have the pet rock?
No.
You don't want the pet rock. I like the pet rock. How about the loaf of bread? That's a good one, huh? But, hey, look at this. I mean, compared to these things, I mean, this has got to be a beauty. You want this one? No. Sit down. So I'll open it myself, and I'll see what it is. Still not. Beautiful wrap job. Whoever did this, this is incredible. I appreciate the time you spent on it. Whoa. Huh. A watch. Think of that. Huh? A stone, a loaf of bread, and a watch. Why did we judge it as though it was less? Because of the way it was wrapped, right? Because of the way it was packaged. I remember one Christmas, I got a real surprise. Carol bought me a watch, a Seiko watch, because she loves Seiko watches. This is not a Seiko, by the way, but that one is tucked away somewhere in a drawer as a sacred keeping. It's a gift, huh? But I like that watch, huh? But you know why? Because it was given to me out of a heart of intense love. And that's what I want us to notice this morning. When we talk about Christmas, when we talk about the gift of God, when we talk about Jesus coming to be a part of our world, we're talking about a gift that God has given us out of passion, so to speak, out of love. He has given us this gift because his love for us is so intense. He desires that we have the best gift. Now, the fact is, the gift given, born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, was born in a stable. By the way, my niece, Diane, is here. With us from Seattle, and we have a special bond because I was the generation who worked the farmland that she, the next generation, worked. We worked this same piece of land in the state of Iowa, and so we have a special connection. And I can tell you, Diane and I know that a stable in the winter is not a pleasant place to be. It's humble. It's all those other things that you're imagining, huh? And sometimes we misjudge the gift of God because it's wrapped in such a simple way. When in reality, it is the gift that meets the obligation of the law. We are justified by faith. It is the gift that can meet our personal and our spiritual needs. Jesus Christ, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, can work in our lives to meet those needs that are so real and so evident. He is the gift of God, the love of God, that, as we quote so often, although born in a manger, was the one that demonstrated that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, Jesus, although he was wrapped in a rather simple wrapping, packaging, so to speak, was the one who was the supreme gift, the best gift to all of us. So as we think about Advent, and as we look at the reality of the coming of Christ, as we think about God's gift to us, it's a gift that meets our obligations. It's a gift that meets our needs. It's a gift that was given to us out of the incredible love that God has for each and every one of us. We have to be careful not to be fooled by the wrappings, not to be fooled by the outside picture, but understand the reality of what the gift really is. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the joy of this Advent season. We pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to us the truth of your word, that God did so love us that he gave himself through Jesus Christ. We have the gift of your Son, this God person, the visible expression of the invisible God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.